How high is too high for inflation to run? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Policymakers at the Federal Reserve say they believe inflation will cool down later this year, but not before it jumps to 3.4%. Traditionally, the U.S. Central Bank has set the limit at 2%. But with the unprecedented economic challenges that come with that, the Fed is willing to be flexible. And today, the European Central Bank is likely to adopt the same attitude. Karsten Breske, chief economist for ING in Germany, explains what that means for the Eurozone economy.
It looks as if the ECB will announce that this inflation target is no longer close to but below 2%, but either 2% or around 2%, which means that the ECB will probably allow for temporary overshootings. And I think that they are secretly preparing financial markets for the situation that they will not react to the current inflationary pressure that we're seeing.
And why is that? Because we're seeing the same thing from the U.S. Central Bank. So why are policymakers willing to let inflation run hotter than they normally would?
That is a very interesting question. As a good central banker, you always need to think in terms of scenarios. And yes, currently the base case scenario is that higher inflation is temporary, mainly driven by energy prices, and that in 2022, we'll see inflation also returning to a much lower level. But when you look around, both in the US and in the Eurozone, producers' price expectations are at record highs. We see that consumers have lots of pent-up demand and higher savings, so which means they probably will be willing to take higher prices. So in my view, the central banks really need to watch out that they are not too benign on any inflationary pressure.
Because is there a risk then that they get it wrong and they're unable to rein in those price increases?
I think that the risk clearly is that they will be running behind the curve, as we call this, so that they are simply too late. And if a central bank is too late and starts realizing that it is too late, it normally comes with a overproportionately answer, which means that then they would start hiking interest rates much faster, much stronger than they currently would. If you realize that you're too late, you really have to hit the brakes.
Now, this change in policy is part of a big review led by ECB Chief Christine Lagarde over the past year and a half or so. How do you think some of her priorities and the central bank's overall strategy are likely to shift as a result of this review?
I think the big question, so next to this issue of will there be an allowance for overshooting of the inflation target, will we get this minor change in the language of what really is the numerical inflation target, it will all be about the greening of the European Central Bank. So what can the European Central Bank do to support European governments in their fight against climate change? Could we see something like a green asset purchase program? Will the ECB start to discriminate bonds from companies that do not stick to the climate targets? So I think this will be very interesting to see what the ECB will present there. Will the ECB also look at asset prices? So as in the US, we have an enormous surge in real estate prices. We have other asset prices also kind of extremely high. And one of the criticisms of the ECB has always been that they're only looking at consumer prices, but not at asset prices. So the question will be, will they incorporate in their strategy from now onwards or not?
ING's Karsten Breske, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
European bond prices are rallying this morning as investors look ahead to ECB Chief Christine Lagarde's press conference later today. As we check the numbers, though, European shares are down in the 1.3 to 1.8% range. Investors here are taking a cue from Asia this morning. Hong Kong's Hang Seng and Tokyo's Topix dropped nearly 3%, while the Shanghai Composite Index closed down almost 1%. That's as investors around the world are fretting about the long-term impact of China's regulatory crackdown on the nation's big tech firms. To Haiti now, where the UN Security Council has today condemned the assassination of the nation's president, Jovenel Moïse, and is calling for calm. The crisis is a fresh blow for Haiti, a country already suffering from significant economic instability. It's one of the Caribbean's poorest nations and its people among the most deprived. Fritz John is the former interim prime minister of the country and former governor of the National Bank of Haiti. He outlines the biggest economic challenges facing his country.
Haiti is a very poor country right now. We're talking about the GDP per capita in Haiti is less than $1,000 per year. And the worst thing about Haiti right now is that we are importing more than 65% of all the food consumption. In order for Haiti to feed itself, Haiti is counting on the diaspora that is sending more than $3 billion every year. We are a very young population. If the industry was very well developed in Haiti, we are the manpower to build this industrial complex in Haiti. Unfortunately, people are not well educated in Haiti, and this has been going on for some time.
Well, these aren't new problems for Haiti, and as the BBC's Andrew Walker explains, the country has a long history of political instability and dismal economic performance.
Jovenel Moïse certainly didn't create this situation. When he took office in 2017, national income per person was less than it was in 1986, after the overthrow of the dictatorship of father and then son Duvalier, known as Papa Doc and Baby Doc. Under President Moïse, the economy did grow during his first 2 years. But in 2019, the persistent political unrest led to another downturn, which was subsequently aggravated by the pandemic. He did have plans for a new constitution, but made little progress towards establishing the political foundations for economic progress. His assassination is a tragic indication of how far Haiti is from stability and prosperity. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
It's 2 weeks before the Olympics in Tokyo are due to kick off, but there's another hitch. With rising coronavirus infections, the Japanese government has declared another state of emergency for its capital, which will cover the entire duration of the Games. The move is amid reports more than a dozen sponsors are canceling or scaling back their promotional events at the Games this summer. With the latest from Japan, here's the BBC's Mariko Oi.
With an increasing number of new COVID-19 cases, the Japanese government has a tricky balancing act to control the spread of the virus while going ahead with the Games. This decision will likely affect its earlier plan to allow up to 10,000 spectators in the stadiums. The government will also request a ban on serving alcohol in the capital. The fourth state of emergency was declared just as the head of the IOC, Thomas Bach, arrived in Tokyo on Thursday. He'll spend 3 days in quarantine.
That's the BBC's Mariko Oi in Tokyo there. Finally,
absolutely amazing. I can't believe it. I've travelled following England the whole way around the world, and we do it in his own garden. I can't believe it. I'm over the moon.
It's taking a few extra cups of coffee to wake up England football fans this morning. I am included in that camp. Last night, the team advanced to the finals of the delayed Euro 2020 tournament. England will face off against Italy on Sunday at London's Wembley Stadium, and Goldman Sachs is calling it for the home team. The investment bank predicts a 58% chance of an England win, final score 2-1 in extra time. It would be the first major tournament win for the team since 1966. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.